We are taking a short break from Exodus this fall, but we will be returning to it around Thanksgiving or so. And so for the next few weeks, what I want to do is actually go through a series on the church. We're going to go through a series on the church. We're going to be covering some different aspects about the church, about the local church, including a couple weeks on missions, a couple weeks on biblical church leadership, and in some ways the message 2 weeks ago on why we need gospel-shaped community also kind of fits into this series as well. And today, what I want to talk about is expository preaching. As the young people might say, it's somewhat meta for me to be preaching about expository preaching, but maybe it's more ironic because admittedly, this is going to be more of a topical sermon about expository preaching than an expository sermon about expository preaching. So it's kind of ironic, but here we are. Nevertheless, I want to begin by talking about the nature of routines. The nature of routines. Have you ever thought about your routines? I mean, routines are helpful. Routines establish patterns for our lives that make are living a little bit more manageable, right? You perhaps have a morning routine. Perhaps you have a workout routine. Probably most of you with young children have discovered at some point the blessing of a bedtime routine. Routines are helpful, but sometimes routines can get so ingrained in us that we keep on doing things even if we forget why, right? Sometimes we keep doing the routine even when the situation has changed and the routine is no longer helpful. Someone once told me about how their family always cut the tip of the chicken off before they cooked it, before they put it in the oven. They saw their mom do it. She always cut the tip of the chicken off and put it in the pan, put it in the oven. And so they learned to follow mom's example, and they always did that and passed it on to their families. And one day they finally asked, "Mom, why do you do that?" And she said, "Oh, very simple, because the chicken didn't fit in the pan." They didn't realize that was why. They just thought that's what you do. That's just what you do. The situation changed. The routine was no longer necessary anymore, but no one thought to ask about it because they had just gotten used to it. They didn't maybe even know the purpose of it to begin with. So it's helpful sometimes to take a step back and kind of examine, to kind of ask questions, to evaluate our routines. Why do we do what we're doing? Should we keep doing it? Is there a better way to do it? And one routine that many of us are familiar with is the routine of church, the routine of attending church, the routine of what we do at church. Some of you are so routine that you have a seat that you always sit in, and COVID has kind of thrown you off, and you are like, where do I sit? I don't know. We have routines, right? But perhaps one routine at church that stands out more than many others in a Sunday service is the preaching. You go to any church on any given Sunday, and typically some person will stand up in front and talk for a lengthy period of time. There's some sort of preaching. There's some sort of sermon. Why do we do that? Why do we preach? Why is a sermon oftentimes at the heart and center of a worship service? It certainly is, in many ways, at the heart and center of the way we structure our service. After all, we live in an age that is maybe suspicious of authority, right? We don't want to have a sage on the stage, so to speak. We want to have a guide on the side, right? We would look at this idea of having someone stand up and proclaim, preach God's word with a sense of authority. Culture would look at that and say, that is strange. That is countercultural. Is preaching the equivalent of cutting the tip off of the chicken? Preaching made sense before people could read and have Bibles of their own, but now, can we do away with this routine? I'd argue no, not just because I need a job, but I'd argue no for many reasons, mainly because the Bible says so. When we gather to worship, we gather to worship God according to his word. We don't get to determine what that looks like. We simply obey and submit to what he has revealed. And God has commanded that when we gather, that his word is at the center. His word sets the agenda for what we do, and it sets itself, the word, at the center of what we do. Not because we worship a book, but because God has revealed himself to us through the pages of Scripture. So it's not about what is convenient. It's not about what is entertaining. It's not about what gets non-believers to come. Instead, we have to ask the question, what honors God? What honors God? What would demonstrate obedience to his word? What has God commanded to begin with? And God has commanded that we give his word a central place in our lives and in our gatherings. God has commanded that his servants would preach the word, in season and out of season. God has commanded that, again, not because we worship a book, but because we worship him, and he has given us his word, a clear and sure and certain word about himself, so that we're not left guessing, well, what is God like? Well, who gets to speak for God? Who doesn't? No, we have a word that we can go back to, that we can examine, that we can read, that we can study, so that we are not dependent on any man, but on what God has given us. We have the word. And this should not be new or surprising, but this morning I want to explain why we would practice, why I would support, why I would endorse this term, expository preaching or expositional preaching. That's something that our church talks about on occasion. Perhaps you've heard that word thrown around from time to time. Why do we practice expository preaching? Again, perhaps you've heard the term, perhaps you haven't. It's become somewhat of a buzzword in recent years. And sometimes the danger of a buzzword is that everyone uses it, but no one knows what it means, right? And so this morning, I want to talk specifically about expository preaching. Namely, what is it, and more importantly, why do we as believers and why do we as a church need it? Why do we need the preaching of God's word, and in particular, the expositional preaching of his word? I'm going to share with you five reasons why we need expository preaching, but first, I think it'd be helpful to explain what I mean by preaching and then what I mean by expository preaching, because sometimes, again, we use words, and sometimes we don't always know what they mean, right? Christianese, like we just smile and nod and say, yeah, I know what that means. What does that mean? I don't know. So first, what is preaching? And I think it's helpful to maybe explain what preaching is by way of comparison with teaching. Because sometimes people say, well, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? Are they the same? Are they similar? Are they different? So teaching versus preaching, I think, is a helpful place to start. Teaching is about information transfer. Teaching informs the mind. Teaching informs the mind. It's about information transfer, but preaching transforms the heart. Teaching informs the mind. Preaching transforms the heart. Teaching, you are giving information, but then if you add to that, not just information transfer, but if you add to that application, if you add to that authority, if you add to that urgency, that is what gives you preaching. Preaching, you might say it this way, preaching is meant to reach the heart, rather, through the mind. It's not bypassing the mind. It's not trying to just make you emotionally stirred up. That's not biblical preaching. Biblical preaching certainly engages the heart, but it does so through the mind. That's why God gives us a book with words, with information. That's why teaching is important. Teaching is extolled in the scriptures, as is preaching, and there is a lot of overlap, but there is some difference. Teaching informs the mind, preaching transforms the heart, and preaching must go through the mind to get to the heart. You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his classic book, Preaching and Preachers, he said this, preaching is theology coming through a man who is on fire. It's a man who has had his heart transformed by theology, by scripture, and is not just, let me share with you some opinions, but is trying to impress upon you the majesty, the importance, the authority, and the urgency of what God says and what God commands and what God has done. So preaching is theology coming through a man who is on fire. Preaching is central to a church because preaching is how God speaks to his church. Preaching is how God speaks to his church. When we open the Bible and we read it and explain it, that is how God is communicating to his people. Preaching is not the end and the total of all Christian worship, but preaching is the foundation. It's the beginning for Christian worship. You can think of it this way. Cars have a driver's seat. Ships have the bridge where the captain sits to steer the ship and command the ship. Likewise, churches have pulpits where the word of God determines the direction of the church. Churches have a pulpit where the word of God is proclaimed, where Christ speaks, and Christ, who is the head, directs and governs his body. And so you do not want a man to stand up in the pulpit and just merely give his own opinions, to just give his own thoughts on current issues. You want a man who is enslaved and surrendered to the Word of God. You want somebody who is going to stand behind the pulpit and not give his own thoughts, but to say, "Thus saith the Lord, and so help me God if I say anything other than." One who is surrendered to every jot and tittle of the Word of God, not one who says, "Well, I'll take what I want, I'll pick and choose." You want faithful preaching of the Word of God that does not take away from nor add to the words of Scripture. That's what preaching is. That's what preaching is. So then what is expository preaching? What do we mean by that? I think Mark Dever gives a very, very helpful and succinct definition of it. He says, expositional preaching is preaching in which the main point of the biblical text being considered becomes the main point of the sermon being preached. To just put it another way, expository preaching, expositional preaching, is simply where you take the main point of a passage of Scripture, and that is the main point of the sermon. You want to faithfully explain what the Bible is saying, and even to allow the support, the evidence, the arguments, the structure of the sermon to all be governed by the text of Scripture, that the text of Scripture would reign supreme. J.I. Packer put it this way, "A sermon is the proclamation of the Word of God only if the text of the Word is accurately expounded and preached." So in the strictest sense of the term, authentic preaching is expository preaching. Maybe it'd be helpful just to give you even a definition of expository or expositional, because that's not a word that we use oftentimes. Simply to exposit something, to give an exposition of something is really to explain what something is, to lay forth its meaning. And so oftentimes when we talk about expository preaching, typically you'll see that done most often through consecutive exposition, where you take a passage of Scripture in a book of the Bible and you take the next section. And then the next week you take the next section. It's typically topical, or typically it's consecutive exposition through large sections of Scripture, even a book of the Bible perhaps. And this is not to say that topical sermons are not okay. I mean, after all, ironically, this is a topical sermon about expository preaching. This is not to say that topical preaching is never okay, but even in topical preaching where we pick a theme and then find verses to support it, to explain it, we need to be careful to be servants of Scripture in these cases, using verses in their right interpretation, in their proper context, and not using Scripture as a wax nose to just bend this way or that to say what I want to say, but to go to Scripture and say, "God, what do you say about this? And let me bring that forth in a way that is organized, clear, and faithful to your word." In this way, topical preaching is really a bunch of little small expository sermons all tied together on one subject when it's done right. You know, rather than, and so the bread and butter, the healthy diet of a church, rather than being just topics that the pastor kind of picks at a whim, the healthy and regular diet of a church ought to be the consecutive exposition of the Scriptures where God determines the balance, God determines the themes, God determines the content, and a pastor can't just say, "Well, I'll pick and choose what I like to say and I'll avoid what I don't want to say." And so, if you can think of it this way, reading Scripture, when you read Scripture, you can say, "Thus saith the Lord." You're reading Scripture, after all. When you're teaching Scripture, you say, "Thus meaneth the Lord." This is what it means. Preaching Scripture, "Thus commandeth the Lord." Thus saith the Lord, you read Scripture, "Thus meaneth the Lord." You teach Scripture, "Thus commands the Lord," preaching Scripture. We must do this rather than saying, "Thus thinketh the pastor." Expository preaching is the best way to ensure this, because you simply have to open the Bible, read it, and go, "Well, I think this is what it means. By God's grace, I'm studying this to not tell you my opinion, but by God's grace and with his help, this is what God is saying. This is what it means." And so expository preaching is the best way to ensure this. It gives the preacher confidence that he is not speaking his own opinions, but God's. But God's. And so with all that, that's a longer introduction, but I will work hard to get through these 5 points quickly. We'll be brief. Five reasons we need expository preaching. Now with that, let me go ahead and read our primary text for this morning. We're going to look at other texts as well, but this is going to be our primary home base, so to speak, today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 down to chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 down to chapter 4, verse 4. And some of these verses are perhaps familiar to you, and maybe you didn't realize that some of these verses are right next to each other. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16, it says this: "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And many of you know that passage, but perhaps you don't know what comes right after that. Chapter 4, verse 1, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." This is serious stuff here. "I charge you, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Thus says the Word of God. Now, I just want to remind you, when the Holy Spirit was inspiring Scripture and Paul was sitting down and writing 2 Timothy or the other books of Scripture, the Holy Spirit didn't say, "Pause, now verse 3. Break, chapter 4. That's not what happened. The verse numbers and chapters were put in later for our just benefit to be able to navigate the Scriptures more easily, but the chapter breaks are foreign. So if you can just mentally block that out in your mind for a minute, verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3 flow right into chapter 4, verse 1, and it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. If the Scriptures are the Word of God, then the only reasonable next thing to say is, therefore, preach it. Don't hide it, don't obscure it, don't twist it, don't use it, don't abuse it. Preach it. Preach the word. But what if people don't like it in season and out of season? But what if I don't like it? It doesn't matter. You preach the word, you be faithful. Why? Because it's not about your opinions. It is about what God has authoritatively said. And all scripture is breathed out by God. In other words, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And we dare not muzzle him. We dare not try to soften his message for him. God, when he speaks, we must be faithful to it. We must surrender to it. So let me walk through five reasons, and we'll kind of jump back and forth to this passage and other passages. But the first reason we need expository preaching is this: expository preaching recognizes the authority of God over the opinions of man. I'll say that again. Expository preaching recognizes the authority of God over the opinions of man. Again, notice there in verse 16, all scripture, every word of it, every part of it, all scripture is breathed out by God. And therefore, it is profitable, it's useful, it's beneficial for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. It's profitable for all these things. And what's the end purpose? Verse 17 says there's a purpose: so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If we want to be equipped for every good work, then we need the word of God. And therefore, because of the nature of God's word, because of the authority of God, his word has authority, and therefore we must preach the word of God, not the opinions of man. That is why chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you to preach the word. And this is just so fascinating. And I'm not going to walk through every detail of these verses here, but it's just phenomenal. He doesn't just say, "I charge you to preach the word." I mean, that would be sufficient. I, Paul, an apostle with the authority of an apostle, I charge you to preach the word. He doesn't just say that. He says, "I charge you in the presence of God," okay, this is serious, "and of Christ Jesus," oh boy, "who is to judge the living and the dead," oh man, and by his appearing and his kingdom. I mean, this is just piling on to say this is serious. Paul says this is not optional. This is not minor. Preach the word because it's breathed out by God. Preach the word because it has authority, because God has authority. And so expository preaching recognizes the authority of God over the opinions of man. We speak not what we just think, but we speak what we have heard from God, what we read from God. John MacArthur says this, the only logical response to inerrant scripture, meaning scripture has no errors, the only logical response to inerrant scripture then is to preach it expositionally. By expositionally, I mean preaching in such a way that the meaning of the Bible passage is presented entirely and exactly as it was intended by God. That's why I study. That's why the pastors study the Bible, to be able to tell you not just guesses of what the word says, but to tell you this is what God's word says. Because the authority is not in our position or in our title, but the authority is in what God has said. Inerrant, inspired scripture demands expository preaching. And this is about exposition, to explain, not imposition. We're not trying to read ideas into scripture. I love what Charles Simeon said about this. Charles Simeon, well-known preacher and pastor in church history. Charles Simeon said this, "My endeavor is to bring out of scripture what is there. To bring out of scripture what is there, and not to thrust in what I think might be there. I have a great jealousy on this head, never to speak more or less than I believe to be the mind of the Spirit in the passage I am expounding." We don't want to go beyond the words of Scripture. We don't want to take away from the words of Scripture to say what is in the Scriptures and to say nothing more or nothing less. And when you do that, there is authority. Because it's not opinion, it's divine revelation. And there's authority when you preach the word this way. John Calvin said this, "Preaching is the public exposition of Scripture by the man sent from God, in which God himself is present in judgment and in grace." When the word of God is being preached faithfully, God himself is there to judge and to give grace. The authority of God is present when the word of God is being understood. And this says it's not just some of Scripture. It doesn't just say the parts of Scripture you like. It says all Scripture. All Scripture is breathed out by God. You know, I appreciate what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. You can turn there or just listen. Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and 27, he's speaking to the elders at the church in Ephesus. And he says in Acts 20, verse 26 and 27, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." He said to them, I am innocent of the blood of all because I did not hold back. I didn't shave off the corners of the things that I thought you might not like. He said, I didn't shrink back from declaring anything from you. I declared to you the whole counsel of God, everything. I didn't shrink. Now, I have only preached through a few books of the Bible to you all, so have I failed to preach the whole counsel of God? In one way, you could say yes, but just give me some time, right? But the key is, am I shrinking? Are you shrinking back from what the Word of God says? I like this, but I don't like that. If you approach the Word of God that way, you are not submitting to God, you are asserting yourself as God. If you pick and choose what you like in the Bible, you do not believe the Bible or God, you believe in yourself and your own wisdom, your own judgment. We dare not shrink back from the whole counsel of God, and therefore when 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is breathed out, then therefore we must preach the word, we must preach all of it, we must shrink back from none of it. And expository preaching is helpful in this regard because you can't skip over stuff that you don't like. Because somebody will ask you, why'd you skip over that verse? I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. No. That is not an acceptable answer from a man of God who is a servant of the word. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable. Every verse, every word of every verse has a purpose. There are no throwaway statements. There's a purpose why it's there, and it's It's our job to dig in and understand, why is it there? Why is it there? I mean, why else would I preach on Zipporah circumcising Moses' son to save his life? If I did not believe in expository preaching, I would have skipped that passage, believe you me. Tim Keller says this: expository preaching should provide the main diet of preaching for a Christian community. It is the best method for displaying and conveying your conviction that the whole Bible is true. This approach testifies that you believe every part of the Bible to be God's word, not just particular themes and not just the parts you feel comfortable agreeing with. I can't just pick topical sermons and series that hit on the things I like to talk about. We have to preach the whole counsel of God. So that's reason number one. Reason number two: expository preaching upholds the priorities of God over the desires of man. Expository preaching upholds the priorities of God over the desires of man. Look at verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Why do you need to preach the word when it's in season and out of season? Verse 3 says, for, meaning because. Here's the connection. Why do you need to do this? For the time is coming, and I would argue has been here for a while. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Healthy teaching, literally. They will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Paul is saying to Timothy, by the authority of God, preach the word in season and out of season, meaning in every circumstance, but I think you can even say preaching every passage of Scripture, whether that truth is in season or out of season. There was a time when certain Christian ideas were in season in America, and now they are quickly falling out of season, and the church cannot say, well, let's just hide those, let's shrink from those. No, we must still stand firm and say, whether it's in season or out of season, we must preach the word of God, the whole counsel of God, every part of it, and not shrink from it. But the people won't like it. That is what 2 Timothy 4 says. But that's no excuse. It says in here, people will accumulate, they will gather, they will find. And today with the internet, you can find them easily. If you don't like what I'm saying, you can shut off the live stream, you can leave and go home and find somebody who says, you are so special, that's why God loves you. If you don't like what somebody's saying, you can find, you can accumulate teachers for yourselves so that your ears, which are itching, can be tickled. Before a pastor is a servant of the people, which he must be, before he's a servant of the people, he must be a servant of the word. A servant of the word of the Lord, a servant of the Lord, saying, I will submit and surrender to all that you say, and I will be faithful to proclaim it without shrinking back, without cowering, without trying to appease man or please man. Instead, I need to please my God. Pastors have this dangerous thing of wanting to be liked. Never happens to me, of course. To lesser pastors. They want to be liked. They want people to enjoy their preaching. It's a dangerous temptation in the heart and life of a pastor. Because there are times we must stand up and say what is not easy, to stand up and say what is not popular, to stand up and say what will offend, not because we want to be offensive, but because we need to be faithful. The word of God must be supreme in a church, not the desires of man. We must preach all of Scripture, not just selective exposition. You know, sometimes you have people say, I'm a red letter Christian. Right? You hear that. I just want to follow the red letters of the Bible. My Bible has all black, so that doesn't apply to me. But some of you have Bibles where the words of Christ are in red, right? Some of you have Bibles like that. I want to be a red letter Christian, just follow the teachings of Christ. But the problem is, you understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written by his disciples, right? And they were written by these apostles, these disciples, who were authorized by Christ. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, it says that the believers were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why? Because they understood the apostles' teaching to be the authoritative teaching of Christ mediated through man. When we want to know what Christ says, we need to go to the whole scriptures. If we want to follow the incarnate word of God, that we must follow the inspired word of God, every part of it. We cannot be just red letter Christians. Sometimes you hear people say, I need preaching that's more relevant. How does this apply to me? I need relevant preaching. Is it relevant to me? Now, friends, I want to make sure you understand this. Relevance is important. I get that. But an overemphasis and demand for relevance might be a symptom that you're idolizing yourself. If it's not relevant to me, then it doesn't matter. It's extremely selfish. It places yourself at the center of what church should be about rather than God. If God says this is important enough for me to put in my word, then our mentality must be, then God, help me find out how to make my life relevant to your word, not the other way around. Far too many of us say, if the word is not relevant to me, then I will put it aside. Instead, we must say, if my life is not relevant to God's word, what needs to change? God's word is clear. And again, it's not that every verse is going to have some practical application for you to do something, but sometimes it's simply to stand in awe of who God is and what he has done. That is relevant. That is a very reasonable application of much of Scripture. When you read about Jesus dying on the cross, you're not meant to go, well, I wonder what cross I should take up today. You're meant to say, praise the Lord, and I trust in him. So I want to protect us from this overemphasis of relevance. It's an unhealthy, it can be an unhealthy and unhelpful mindset to say, God's word has to fit into my life, otherwise I don't want it. Expository preaching is a healthy antidote to that. It calls us to make our lives relevant to God's word rather than demanding that God's word be relevant and fit neatly and conveniently and comfortably into our lives. We're going to preach through the Bible and say, God, what do you have us to do about that? How would you have me live in light of that? How am I to think of you in light of this truth? Expositional preaching upholds the priorities of God rather than or over the desires of man. Reason number three, we need expository preaching. Expository preaching matures and equips believers with a balanced diet. Expository preaching matures and equips believers with a balanced diet. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, we read these verses a couple weeks ago already, but I want you to see them again with this topic of expository preaching in your mind. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, "And he," that's Jesus, "gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow." We're to grow up in every way into Christ. Let me pause there. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, shepherds meaning pastors, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints. A little rocket science question kind of here. How would teachers equip the saints? By teaching. I went to seminary for that one. Shepherds, how are they to help their sheep grow? By feeding them. Feeding them what? The word of God. When the church needs to be equipped, it comes through teaching. Now, certainly example is important. Leaders are to have godly character, to be an example to the flock. Absolutely. But my example will never ever be as helpful as the word of God, because my example will be imperfect on my best days. But the word of God gives us the perfect standard, the perfect picture. Preachers have this terrible lot in life where we have to preach things that we don't live up to. Now, hopefully there's not rank hypocrisy, But I will never live up to what I'm preaching perfectly. It's impossible. But that doesn't mean I should water down the message so that I feel better and you feel better. Instead, I am sitting with you in the pew saying, this is what God's word says, let's all do it together. I am not above this, I am with you. For some of you, I am behind you. But we follow God's word together. And we need to mature. How does that happen? By teaching the word. Why? So we're equipped with the word. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. At the end it says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How do you think that equipping happens? By being equipped with the word of God. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable so that you can be equipped. And here Ephesians 4 says the same thing. Shepherds and teachers, they need to equip you. It happens through teaching the word of God. And that's why Ephesians 4 goes on to say you reach maturity and you do that by speaking the truth in love. You were to speak the truth in love. And how do you get equipped with the truth that you're to speak? By listening to the word of God. This is what's happening. I am trying to open the word to equip you so that you would be able to shepherd one another, to speak the truth in love to one another, so that we together would mature. And we need expository preaching to set the rudder for the ship, so to speak. To load you up so that you are full of truth and you can go and preach, teach one another. You know, it's interesting, right? Because we live in a day and age where our entertainment habits tell a lot about us. I mean, a generation ago, if you wanted to watch something on TV, you'd have to turn on the TV and just see what's on. And what's on is all you could choose from. That was it. Today, you've got Netflix, Google Plus, Hulu, YouTube, whatever else is out there, there's a ton more. You can pick and choose whatever you want, and if you don't like it, you don't watch it. And you can watch the same thing over and over again and again, and you can watch the same genre of stuff, the same type of stuff. This on-demand streaming mindset, I'm not railing against it, I'm just saying that that is an interesting phenomenon for our culture today, and yet we cannot take that mindset. We cannot take that mindset when we approach God's word. We cannot. Instead, God sets the agenda. You don't change the channel. There's one channel. It's the Bible. It's not an on-demand streaming situation. It gives us a balanced diet. We can't just say, well, let me just walk through and just find all the verses that talk about God's love, but I'm going to be like Thomas Jefferson and cut out all the places in the Bible that I don't like, whether miracles or judgment or God's righteous holiness or whatever it is. You can't just go through the Bible and cut out doctrines you don't like. God says, here is the full and sufficient word of God, but it's got to be taken together. You can't just pick and choose and say, this is a balanced diet. It's like a child who only wants to eat candy all the time. It's sweet. He or she likes it, but it makes you sick in the end. It doesn't mature you. It doesn't help you grow the same way a balanced diet would. And I don't trust myself to figure out what a balanced diet is for you spiritually. I need to go to the word of God and say, God, help me to preach the whole counsel of God. Reason number four, we got to hurry here. Reason number four, expository preaching teaches others how to study God's word. Expository preaching teaches others how to study God's word. You know, too many of us approach scripture like fortune cookies. You know, after you finish a meal and you have a fortune cookie, you open it up and you're like, oh, here's kind of a nice saying, interesting. Oh, I guess it sort of applies. It's just by itself, no context, no background, no guarantees, no person to call if you have a problem with that. We approach scripture that way, like, hey, here's a verse. Oh, God loves me. Hey, here's a verse. Oh, that's encouraging. We just take little snippets rather than realizing that God has given us a book. The sentences don't just stand there by themselves. There is context. And when you strip a verse out of its context, you can often make it sound like it's saying something it doesn't say at all. Perhaps you've heard the example, right? You know, in the Bible it says, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. Sounds great until you realize Satan said that to tempt Jesus. The context matters. In Romans 15, it's like, hey, don't destroy others whom Jesus died for by what you eat. Sounds like Paul is saying, don't have food fights. That's not what it means. The context matters. We cannot approach Scripture like fortune cookie verses, like just, you know, the stuff at Hobby Lobby. Oh, that's a nice verse, but we have no context for it. I'm not hating against Hobby Lobby, but it's a different story for another time. The importance of context. We need to understand what the Word of God says. And I'll tell you this. You know, I went to seminary, right? And they taught me how to study the Bible, but I had already learned even before going to seminary, not because I was so smart, but because I had sat under for years preaching that walk through the Bible verse by verse, sometimes phrase by phrase, sometimes word by word, and it taught me how to understand the Word of God because I saw the preacher doing it. And because I saw he didn't skip over words that were hard, he didn't skip over truths that were inconvenient, he preached every single word because every word was inspired by God, every word had the authority of God, and he dared not deviate, and that taught me more than a seminary class could ever teach me. And I want you to have that same mindset that when you open the Word of God, God is speaking and I must listen. And I must understand it in its context with its right meaning, not just whatever I want it to mean. Expository preaching teaches you how to study the Bible better for yourself. Lastly, expository preaching points to Christ in all of Scripture. Expository preaching points to Christ in all of Scripture. And this, I don't have enough time to expound this, but Christ is not in every single verse. Like, it's not like you turn over a leaf in the book of Chronicles and, oh, there's Jesus. He's not in every single verse, but every single part of Scripture eventually points to him. He is the one that makes all of Scripture make sense. It all points to Christ. In John 5, verse 39 to 40, Jesus said, "You," he was speaking to the religious leaders of the day, "you search the Scriptures because you think that in them," in the Scriptures, "you have eternal life. And it is they," the Scriptures, "that bear witness about me." It is possible to devote yourself to Scripture and cut yourself off from Christ if you read it wrongly. But when you read it rightly, Jesus says, no, the Scriptures bear witness about me. And when we practice expository preaching, what it does is it helps you understand. It's not like, here's the like 10 places that we can hear about Jesus, and all the other verses are sort of non-gospel. No. When expository preaching is done right, it shows how every part of Scripture eventually points to, eventually leads to, eventually must be answered by the person and work of Jesus Christ himself. So friends, we need expository preaching because it recognizes the authority of God over the opinions of man. It upholds the priorities of God over the desires of man. It matures and equips believers with a balanced diet that's determined by God, not by man. Expository preaching teaches others how to study God's word. And expository preaching points to Christ in all of Scripture so that you would see that he is the center of it all. It points to him, not just select passages here and there. So friends, I hope that this encourages you, that this is not a meaningless routine that is outdated and outmoded. Instead, I want you to come expectant to be fed, with your heart prepared to be both challenged but also encouraged and refreshed by the word. Because God has given us his word not to condemn, but to give grace for those who have faith. To give grace knowing that Jesus Christ is the one who says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Scriptures are the ones that say that Jesus is the one crucified for our sins, that we might have life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for time in your word this morning, and we pray that you would cause us to be hungry for your word, that we would hunger and long for your word, that we might be faithful, mature believers who are equipped to speak the truth in love to others. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.